You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Sending this message from the year 2038 to tell you one thing. Lily was right.
Lily was right.
Want a better future for the planet? Then listen up. This is the Green Desk with Lily Peacock, thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
Good afternoon. Today I have here with me Dr. Sean Weaver, the Executive Director of ECOS. ECOS is a rainforest carbon boutique supplying fair trade styled community-based rainforest carbon offsets for the New Zealand voluntary carbon offset market. Specifically, Dr. Weaver and his team are helping out at WOMAD this year. Welcome, Dr. Weaver, how are you?
Thank you Lily, it's good to be here.
Can you please tell me a little bit about how ECOS started?
Sure. The longer story, but I'll keep it short, is that I'm a bit of a rainforest conservation junkie, and I get a real kick out of that, and I have done for decades now. And ECOS is the most recent kind of version of this work for me, because carbon offsets are one way of financing rainforest protection, and I've been working in rainforest protection financing since the late 1980s. When carbon markets came along during the mid-2000s, I could immediately spot an opportunity to finance rainforest protection through the production of carbon offsets and the sale of those, rather than the production and sale of timber from a rainforest. And so what I do and what ECOS does is we help landowners who own an indigenous rainforest, we help those people create and sell carbon credits instead of selling timber as a way to make a living off their natural resource. And in this way, we're helping to help the climate system, and we're helping biological diversity, and we're also supporting community economic development.
That's amazing. My one question is, how do you measure carbon credits? What's the process there that in a rainforest you'd then measure? Is it growth, or is it diversity, or...
Good question. Well, there's two ways to produce a carbon benefit from the way you manage a rainforest. The first thing is, if you protect it instead of log it, then you're stopping emissions going into the atmosphere, because when you think about all the wood that you've ever seen, half of the dry weight of that wood is carbon atoms, and that carbon came from the air as carbon dioxide. And so forests are a storehouse of carbon dioxide. Now, when we log a forest, not necessarily all of the trees, but certainly whenever we log trees and turn them into wood and whatnot, we're also producing carbon dioxide emissions from the decomposition of that wood and eventually also the burning of that wood. So avoiding that through protecting the rainforest means that we're avoiding those emissions. And it's a little bit like if you were to produce electricity from, say, renewable energy, you're avoiding burning fossil fuels. So it's a similar sort of thing of avoiding these emissions to the atmosphere. So that's one way. And the other way is that many forests are growing every year in volume and the amount of biomass that they have, the sort of the weight of that forest, if you were to measure it in tons, is going up a little bit every year. And that means that, and that's because the forest is taking in carbon dioxide and turning it into wood gradually year by year by year. And this is accumulating. And this is what we call carbon sequestration. It's the absorption of carbon dioxide from the air, turning it into trees and wood. And both of those things produce a benefit to the atmosphere, because on the one hand, we're avoiding an emission of a greenhouse gas. And on the other hand, we're also taking greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere.
We definitely need more of those projects around the world, I think.
Yeah, it's part of we're part of a pioneering sort of movement in the carbon markets that are, as I say, financing rainforest protection through the carbon markets. And
are there more like projects like that around the world that are kind of going on?
Yeah, there are a few. We have the only project in New Zealand of rainforest protection carbon. And we have the only project in Fiji and the only one in Vanuatu, and we have one in development in the Solomon Islands. So that in the Pacific region, that's us, and we're pioneering that in the region, got the first projects. But in other parts of the world, like in Brazil, in Indonesia, in Africa, you also have projects in those countries where entities like ECOS are working with the landowners, helping them sell carbon instead of timber as a way to drive economic development. Because, of course, people don't cut rainforests down because they hate them. They usually cut them down or log them in some way because they're trying to raise money to finance economic development in their communities.
And so
we're helping them achieve those economic development goals without them having to do damage to nature. So this is really a win-win that we're working with.
This makes me really excited that there's something that can kind of fuse all of those issues into one and make them beneficial to all the stakeholders. How did you guys get involved with WOMAD, and is there kind of a market for you guys being involved with more festivals in the future?
Absolutely. No, we do. I mean, we provide offsets for carbon neutrality, for businesses, for individuals, for events, for flights and driving. And so, you know, WOMAD is one of our customers, and we have other festivals that we've been the offset partner for, as well as conferences. A lot of people buy carbon offsets for their driving from us. Like, you know, when you go, if you own a diesel vehicle, for example, you have to buy your diesel miles every 6 months or so. But we also sell people carbon miles so that they can buy 10,000 kilometres of carbon neutral driving, and they just buy it off us and we issue a certificate, and the driver then can feel that, yeah, I'm taking responsibility for my emissions. For some businesses, they want to be carbon neutral because, you know, like WOMAD, they're saying, look, we're a responsible business and we want to take responsibility for the pollution that we can't avoid. We want to reduce whatever pollution we can by being more energy efficient. But, you know, you're still, even the most efficient and clean and green personal business is still going to have some carbon emissions because we use electricity and we have to drive and sometimes we have to fly. and so we're working with a number of different businesses to measure their carbon footprint and to help them reduce that that footprint, which is, you know, the amount of pollution they produce each year. And then we help them go that extra distance and offset the remaining carbon footprint so that they can be carbon neutral. And in fact, some businesses even go even further and they offset even more than their emissions, in which case they're like turning their business into a tree, which is taking more pollution out of the air than it's putting in.
That's incredible. What do you see happening in the future with carbon offsets or even maybe the way that we practice business?
Yeah, well, our goal is to make carbon neutrality the new normal. And the way, and it can become, and I think it will eventually become the new normal, where, and it's already becoming the normal in other countries. Like Scandinavia, for example, it's very much more normal than it is in New Zealand. Even in Australia, in many other developed countries, in fact, New Zealand's lagging behind quite a way. So internationally, the trend is moving forward at a faster pace than in New Zealand, but we're catching up. Our goal is to help especially medium and small businesses and also larger businesses become carbon neutral by lowering the costs of participation in this activity, by lowering the overhead costs, by just making it basically easy, simple, feel good, and painless. So what we do, we're a charity. Our purpose is to cause as much good as we can per dollar spent by a customer rather than just maximise profits. So we have a purpose to keep costs down, and also because we produce our own carbon credits because we have our own projects. We don't own the land, we partner with landowners, but we build these projects ourselves. And so in a way, we're a bit like a farmer's market. And you know, if you have a farmer's market set up in town, we're selling directly to customers, they can be cheaper than than shops, and still make a living from that. And we're a bit like that because we're selling directly to our customers. And this means that we don't have to charge such high fees for things like helping to measure somebody's carbon footprint. In fact, a lot of the time for medium and small businesses, I don't charge them at all for that because it's not a lot of work. In fact, I help those businesses do their own measurement. And then I check it and make sure it's true and accurate. And it means that they can get to this point of carbon neutrality with a lot less pain and a lot less cost.
Okay, I mean, when I think of farmers markets, I think quality and affordability.
Yep.
And I think those are two values that are really, really important going into the future in business practice. Your business values are really on point, and it's so heartening to hear somebody who is passionate about those and is really making such a positive difference. So thank you so much, Dr. Weaver, for speaking with me today.
It's a pleasure. It's great fun talking to you. And thanks for getting in touch.
That was the Green Desk. Thanks to the Monaco Beautification Charitable Trust.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.